720 WGN. John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Justin Kaufman. We're halfway to 11 o'clock. Do you know who's on tonight, Esmeralda? Oh, no, it's Patty.
Patty. Patty's on.
Oh,
after
that's
us,
good
yeah.
news. Patty's coming back on. So Mark Carman doesn't have to do six straight hours of radio
exactly.
overnight. That's mm-hmm. good news. This all day long on the show, we've kind of been talking about ways we can help and give mm-hmm. back to people. It's sort of been the way the conversation has gone. Maybe it's the holidays. Maybe it's because, obviously, it's so cold out there and so many people do need a hand, a helping hand. And one person that's doing that and so much more is Jade Greer. Jade, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You're just back from a trip in Minnesota, right?
Oh, yeah.
How cold was it in Minnesota?
Oh, it was freezing. -5, I believe, yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
We've
oh,
just
so
been
not
just about
bad.
There. Yeah, not too bad. Minnesota's seen far worse. And your mother's here, too. Paul, how you doing?
Hello, I'm doing well. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for driving Did you guys drive or fly?
We drove.
Thanks for driving all the way back and then coming on WGN. We really appreciate it.
Just for this.
All right, so, Jade, we're going to get to all the great work you've done. You're at Michigan State. Now, how old are you?
19.
So you're 19 years old. You've done all this incredible work, which we're going to get to. But when did you start volunteering? Because you are kind of like this volunteer extraordinaire.
So I've pretty much been volunteering my whole life. My mother always taught me that it's the beauty on the inside and not on the outside that really matters. And so I think my first volunteer experience was in first grade at my elementary school back in Minnesota. And we packaged food and rice and beans to send to people in need. And that's when my interest kind of sparked. And I was like, wow, this makes me feel really good. And it's so nice to be able to give back to other people.
Paula, what was important about that experience for her that you wanted to impart onto her?
Because my father, her grandfather, that's something that he embedded and instilled in me. And so I wanted to make sure to do that for my children. And to see the look on her face and the satisfaction that she had at such a young age by giving back. And that seed, as she mentioned, that it did plant to want to do more was so critically important. Mm-hmm. Her grandfather has a saying, reach one, teach one. And that's something that she's lived by.
Her entire life?
Mm-hmm.
So I got to ask, though. So I'm sure my parents had me do a volunteer project when I was at that age. And certainly I have a volunteering spirit and I like to help out where I can. Mm-hmm. But what separates me from you, Jade, is just how you took this to like the nth degree. Is that how you live your life? Like when you get into something, you just take it all the way?
Yeah. I tend to always have my plate loaded with stuff that I'm wanting to do. But I like to be busy and I like to have a lot on my plate and feel like I'm really doing something and making the most out of it.
So what are you doing now? I mean, how did you get on everybody's radar here? Because you've been helping out in so many different ways.
Yeah, so I'd say my first really big experience, life-changing experience, was through the WE movement and WE Day. So I discovered WE Day in 2015 and attended the first WE Day Illinois.
And what is WE Day?
So WE Day is a really cool experience. It's at the Allstate Arena, the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, and it marks the celebration of a year-long of service that's done by young people. And the best part is that you can't buy a ticket. You have to earn it through at least one local and one global service action. And Selena Gomez hosted the first year. They have a lot of motivational speakers, but the first year I submitted my service story because they were looking for people, and I got selected out of a bunch of applications to speak on stage and share my story in front of about 18,000 youth.
Oh my gosh, what was that like?
It was life-changing. I mean, I love public speaking, and just to be in a room and in that atmosphere where everybody cares about one another and about giving back to others, it's just like no other.
Go ahead.
And for that, what was the global, which I'm like, what? And a local, what was the things you volunteered for?
So locally, what did we do? I believe we did a bake sale locally that year. But globally, we did an initiative where you collected change. And I believe every $50 in change collected bought a goat for a family in a developing country.
Oh, wow.
Which they can then, that brings them out of poverty.
Oh,
one goat can bring an entire family.
You and your pennies, John Hanson.
Yeah, on the morning show, it was World Vision, I think, we worked with. And we brought a llama and a goat around the streets of Chicago to talk about that. You give one family a goat, it's the milk. They're able to then become entrepreneurs in their own right.
Oh, that's amazing.
Were you there, Paula, when she spoke in front of 15?
I was. And I got to tell you, it's one of the proudest moments of my life. I mean, I think she was just meant to do this. Mm-hmm. But I think more importantly, what made me proud was the fact that she is getting others involved and volunteering as well. It's really critical to Jade that she give others a platform to help raise their voices. She believes strongly that young people are not paid enough attention to. I believe that as well. So whether it's through her work with Allstate and WE Day or whether it's through her blog. She is constantly looking for ways to get other young people involved.
Judy, give us Judy. Oh my gosh, I did that right when she came in. Think of Judy Pilak, who I just co-hosted with the other day. Jade, wonderful Jade Greer. Tell us about, give a shout out to your high school first and foremost.
Homewood Fossmer High School.
There you go.
Go Vikings.
So were you dedicated and did you change lives there in terms of your service and try and get other students involved in the project too?
Yeah. So one big club that I was involved in at HF was the Friends of Rachel Club. And we did random acts of kindness. And so we tried to spread cheer and kindness around the school. Another thing that I was involved in was Operation Snowball, which I know happens at a lot of schools.
Oh my God, I was a snowball guy too.
Yeah. Yes, so I was a small group leader for Snowflake and Snowflurry, and to just be able to encourage young people to stay on the right path and to get involved with extracurriculars really made my day.
And Jade, you've done volunteer trips too as well, right?
Yeah.
Where have you gone?
So this past summer, I got the chance to travel with WE to their first ever pre-med trip to Kenya. So I spent 16 days there, and we had the opportunity to work in hospitals and also to run mobile health clinics, because in the rural Kenya, you can walk for hours to get to the nearest hospital. And so it's very important to be able to go to the communities to provide them with that care. And it's so cool just seeing everybody come out because they know exactly what day it's going to be on and to deliver that to them.
Jade, I know that when I look at the world, I mean, we have so many issues. So many people need help. And honestly, like, I think that is sometimes what prevents people from volunteering is that the massive amount of work that needs to be done can be intimidating. Why even get started? Because there's so many other issues. What would you say to someone that says, I can't give up my time. It's just, am I really making a difference?
Even if you reach one person, it's going to make a difference, because you reach one person and that can inspire them to reach another person. And it's kind of a chain reaction. So I'd say that everything matters, every step. Just like people say every penny counts, every person counts.
Well, we shouldn't talk about that, because I admitted the other day that I threw away my pennies. And when I find them on the dustpan, I just throw them in the garbage. That's a whole another thing that we've been talking about. How do you choose the causes that mean something to you? Is it that you hear about it and you say that struck me for some reason? Is it through word of mouth, or do you actively seek out new things?
Yeah, so I kind of like to combine my passions with what's going on in the world or things that I hear about that are going on. So with my blog, for example, I talk about things that are being talked about in the media, and I kind of talk about the social issues that are relevant at this point in time and discuss them. And my goal is to really spark a discussion. I'm studying public health at Michigan State, and so I combine my passion for the field of health, but I wanted to be able to help others. So in the future, I'm hoping to be in a position where I can help bring quality health care to individuals who might not be able to afford it or who go overlooked.
Where can people find your blog? Got to give it a shout out.
Yeah, so it is unconventionallyjade.com. And I am UC Jade Blog on Twitter.
Oh, there you go. Nice shout out there. And we'll obviously retweet and everything, all those sorts of things. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but I want to find out how Allstate is helping you out and do all these great things, because that's important. And I want to hear Paula gush about how proud she is some more, because that's what everyone really wants to hear, a proud mother. And plenty more coming up on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon filling in for Justin Kaufman, joined by Jade Greer and her mother, Paula. And you guys still having fun here?
Oh, yeah.
Who'd you bring here? We can't hear them, but you want to give a shout out to who is also in the room?
So this is my brother, Jackson, and my boyfriend, Brent.
Oh, boyfriend, you proud? Very, very proud. All right, give the thumbs up. Okay, so Jade, you've been volunteering your entire life since you planted a garden when you were in first grade, help people out. What's your partnership with Allstate? What do they do for you in helping you out and helping you reach the goals that you want to reach?
So Allstate is incredible. I first got involved with them through WE, because they are the biggest sponsor of the WE movement in Illinois.
And remind people again what the WE movement is.
So the WE movement really inspires young people to get involved in service. And every year they have WE Day, which marks the end of a year long of service, and it's a celebration that brings together performances, celebrities, motivational speakers for young people who give back.
And Allstate is a big part of that. Obviously, they run the whole thing.
Oh yeah, yes. So So the first time I spoke at WE Day, it was through the They Say movement, which is Allstate's movement that encourages young people to kind of challenge the stereotype that young people don't care, that young people don't want to give back. So that was really amazing. And then the second year, I had the opportunity to actually be the first ever youth co-chair for WE Day Illinois. And through Allstate, I got the opportunity to be featured on Lifetime Channel's first ever episode of the TV series Live Life Forward.
Oh my God, you're on Lifetime?
Yeah, yeah.
Girl, that's where Project Runway is on. That's a big deal for me and my family. I know that preset.
So they've just provided an incredible, incredible platform for me, almost like mentorship to really push me to get out there and to be the best that I can be. So that was an amazing experience. And then this past summer, they gave me the opportunity to be a judge at the first ever Good Start to Young Rally, where I got to see young teams from all over the country that had competed and that had showcased their ideas for social change. So they came to Chicago, and it was almost like Shark Tank style competition.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner walked away with a lot of money that they could put towards their plan. And every single team also walked away with 6 months of mentoring for their plan, which is super important because you can't just say, all right, here's the money. Like, how are you going to guide these young people to make tangible results with their change? So.
So Jade, where are you studying again at Michigan State?
Public health.
What's your end goal? Like, I hate to say when you grow up because you're more grown up than I am, but like, what do you want to do?
I don't know exactly what position I want to be in, but the change that I want to make is I want to be able to bring quality healthcare that is affordable to people who can't afford it. That was redundant. But oftentimes when we think of public health, we have to really look at who we're considering the public. This past summer, I interned with the Homeless Outreach Project, and that was extremely eye-opening to see the people in Chicago who go ignored and unseen. And so I think it's very important to acknowledge those people as people.
Yeah, we were just talking about that very thing before you came on, about an hour beforehand, and I couldn't agree more. So when you go to East Lansing, right, it's East Lansing, Michigan State, right?
Yes.
I'm a U of I guy, so whatever, it's fine. You beat us in every sport, that's fine. Did you then start taking up projects in East Lansing? Like, does the idea of not only going to Africa or wherever you end up going, wherever the place you go, but helping locally is also just as important?
Yeah. So I'm a part of a community service group at MSU called FAMILY, which stands for Forget About Me, I Love You. And we have three pillars, if you will. They're financial literacy, community service, and mentoring. So some of the programs that we do is working with children at the Boys and Girls Club. We work with Haven House, which is a local transitional homeless shelter for families, where we cook meals for them and do other stuff with the residents. Every year we host a community baby shower, and we bring new families and expecting parents together, and we give them clothes, diapers, everything that they might need while providing them with that fun baby shower experience that they might not get otherwise.
Paul, you have this smile on your face as you look at your 19-year-old daughter. I mean, I made the joke she's more grown up than I am, but what an incredible 19-year-old. Did you ever envision when you kind of started to get into this that this is the sort of product you'd have with Jade?
No, let me tell you, she's far more grown up and more mature than I ever was at that age when I went to Michigan State, and I am incredibly proud. And another reason that I'm really proud of Jade is because she can manage to take adversity and change it into a positive. I mean, one of the reasons that Jade is so committed to social justice is we had a young cousin in Minnesota, 24, who was unarmed, shot and killed by the police. And if you peruse unconventionallyjade.com, you'll see that her voice is really coming through and getting people involved in that dialogue. So she's driven. And I think that's, you know, we too often underestimate the fact that young people are driven. And all we need to do is give them a platform like Allstate does. And when they have that platform, they can take it and run with it and really make a difference and make a change.
Jade, social justice is such an important cause. I wonder, though, is it hard to navigate the world? Because social justice has a lot of connotation. There's a lot there. That's a very loaded thing. And it's an important discussion to have. Colin Kaepernick's having that conversation, starting those conversations in many communities. These are conversations that need to be happened. But they're a little bit more politically loaded. It's a hot potato.
Right.
Volunteering is something we can all rally behind. How do you bridge that divide of being an activist while also being someone that wants to give back?
Right. So I think that obviously you can't look at these two as separate, because politics plays so much of a role in our everyday lives. And when you look at the things that I'm doing, like volunteering with the homeless, people with with limited resources, and you look at politics that are trying to take away even more resources from some people, that I can't ignore the intersection between those two, if that answers your question.
No, I see what you're saying, and I think that we too quickly remove the social justice, the politics out of it. Instead of saying that this is just one of the realities of the situation. Because I think as we all volunteer, we help people very tangibly in the here and now, but political changes are the changes that need to be to help these systematic problems.
Yes.
So someone like you, you're great served if you ever ran a nonprofit, if you ever did things like that. But if would you ever consider going into politics?
I've thought, funny you mention it, I've actually thought about health policy and public policy. So I've been looking into that a little bit. Hopefully I can find some experiences in that to really get myself in there and see if that's something that I like. But I do agree with the legislative part of this social change.
Yeah, I just hope you never put on those blinders and say that that world doesn't intersect. It
really does.
Yeah,
for sure.
People that volunteer and want to stay out of politics, that's totally fine. I get that. Any help that we can have. But we need more active leaders saying, no, these things are all really, really connected. Give out your blog one more time for us.
So my blog is unconventionallyjade.com, and I am on Twitter at UCJadeBlog.
And Paula, do you have a Twitter account? Do you follow her on Twitter?
I do. I am proud. My Twitter handle will tell you how proud I am. I'm at Jax and Rue's mom.
Yeah, it'll just be retweets of whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you had one message for someone that's listening right now, that's either maybe they volunteer all the time, maybe it's someone that never really has done it. Are there any specific causes that you know of here in Chicago that it's a great place to start, or just in general, how can people kind of get started in this sort of thing?
That's
a loaded question.
So one place I really like, we have it out in Homewood, is Children's Hunger Fund. And it's really easy. You can get a group together, package stuff. But I'd say there's a cause for everything. Like if you just ask around, there's homeless shelters, there's hospitals that you can volunteer at. There's everything that you can do, intersects with volunteering. So I'd say if you just ask around.
Yeah, just ask around.
The last message I kind of just want to get out is, believe in young people, because if you don't educate young people, or you say they're just kids, they're not going to understand, then that's how those young people grow up to become apathetic adults. So start getting young people engaged in these issues and educating them and make them passionate about giving change and changing the world.
Yeah, when you really inspire someone younger, not that inspiring older people to do things, it doesn't pay off as well. Right. But your return on investment of getting someone in grade school or even in high school or in college to do, you're talking about years and decades of service that you can get out of that one individual. Do you ever have time for homework? Like, do you have time for fun? What do you do in college? I mean, you're 19, so you're not going to the bars yet, I hope, right, Paula?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what do you, I mean, when do you have time for all this stuff? Are you the busiest person in East Lansing, Michigan?
I'm pretty busy, but, you know, I have my planner. I'm very organized. I try to schedule out my weeks. But honestly, volunteering is fun for me. So being involved with the organizations that I'm in really brings a lot of joy to my face. Obviously, I have to make time for academics so that I can be successful and give back on an even bigger level. But yeah,
we're in the Allstate Showcase studio, by the way. These are not connected things, but you guys are connected. If you could explain one more time the great work that Allstate has done to be able to help you out, because I mean, I imagine that they're diverting a lot of resources to be able to make this work.
Yes, yes. So Allstate has their Good Starts Young initiative, where they really give young people the resources to change the world, start that organization that they want to start, to be that entrepreneur for social change. And so they've really given me so many platforms, from being on TV, having my first national television appearance, to speaking in front of 15,000 people at their arena during We Day. So I really thank them for just helping me become a better leader and a more confident world changer.
Justin Breen is a PR guy for Breck. I can never say the name of the Breck.
Right.
Yeah, Breen, and it is a new firm, and we worked as reporters together. He told me this morning when we chatted, he said, talk to Jade. She's someone that's going to change the world. And I, after chatting with you, I absolutely 100% agree. So go out and do it, because the rest of us aren't. So please go out there and make some work. Paula, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Jade, you too as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate it too. Okay, it is 9:30, which means it is time for the news. So we're going up to the newsroom, and here's Rob Martier. Esmeralda, you know what I got to say when I hear this?
Oh.
I like gorillas.
Oh, okay.
That's the name of the band. It's with a Z. 312-91-7200. I want you to get involved in the conversation here. It's John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Justin Kaufman on the download. Patty Vasquez takes things over at 11 o'clock, so Carmen doesn't have to do 6 hours.
I know. Bless him. He needs a nap.
Bless him. So we heard him yesterday Well, you were with him the whole time.
I was.
And I heard him, obviously, when we did the crosstalk.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I drove home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was up like 3 hours later and I was driving
and
to work.
You still heard him.
Yeah. And Carmen just has a delivery method that you don't quite know if he's tired anyways.
He's got
but even I could tell by about 3:50 when I heard
him.
You know. I mean, that's a long time. Four hours that we do for Justin is a long time. I don't know how he does that. But.
I know that we are just sitting here talking,
mm-hmm.
but it takes a little bit out of you.
We use our brains sometimes.
Well, yeah. And it's a thing of you kind of have to be on.
You got to be on.
And you have to keep talking.
You got to keep on talking. That needle's got to keep on moving.
Exactly. And it does. You get tired.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of silly.
You know, our lives are
here.
So tough as well that we have to talk a bunch and get paid for it. 312-981-7200. How tired are you? No, okay. So this is a story that I found before we started the show that I think is hilarious. And I'm sure some people will disagree with me. This is out of Riverside, California. Hmm. Authorities say a Southern California couple used a drone to deliver illegal drugs to their customers. Benjamin Baldessari and Ashley Carroll of Riverside charged Tuesday with possessing controlled substances for sale and child endangerment, which is not the funny part, of course.
Yeah.
I imagine that has to do with where you were selling drugs, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, they had kids there and stuff.
So police arrested the couple last Thursday after the neighbor suspected that they were selling the drugs. They said that they used drones to deliver the drugs to customers at a nearby parking lot. Customers then drive to the couple's home and throw their payments on the lawn. I don't know why they couldn't attach it back to the drone and have the drone fly back.
I bet you the drone picks it up from the lawn. It's probably like a claw game.
So they send the drugs with the drone, then they drive them. I would just imagine that if you're going to deliver drugs with a drone and you want money back, the drone should just have a little baggie underneath it.
I missed the
You grab the drugs, you put the money in the drone bag, and then it goes back.
Well, maybe they're just worried it would fall off.
Now, I know that it's not cool because there was a 9-year-old girl living in the home. And I know that drug use, of course, is not funny. And I'm not trying to say that, but that's pretty crafty. Using drones, because what they're doing is they're avoiding the exchange, that moment. But, I mean, I do got to say, is that really smart to do it at a parking lot where, like, that would cause me to pay attention. Mm-hmm. If I just saw some people waiting in a parking lot and a drone landed near them and they grabbed it from the drone, something from the drone, I would immediately be like, whoa, that's a drone drug deal happening there.
Yeah. I mean, I thought when you first had told me the story, I immediately thought they were doing like a delivery service to the people's
homes. To their
home.
That'd be smart.
But then I thought, well, how far do they have to go? And then they have to come back.
Right. Right.
It would be quite a hassle for that drone.
And the battery life on everything, too.
Exactly.
If it's in the middle of a transport and all of a sudden it just dies and it just falls on the ground and then somebody drives by and sees a drone with a case of drugs.
Free drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're crafty.
They are crafty. You got to give that thing. But, I just feel like, that is just more obvious. Yeah, I agree. If it was like Amazon is going to do the drones one day where they deliver right to your door.
Right.
That makes sense to me.
I'm not with the whole, they should have rethought up the throwing the money on the lawn. Cause then again, there's some just random person running up to your lawn.
Throwing money.
Well, no, but picking up whatever's there and then running away. Again, people get suspicious.
I don't know. I think there's a better way to deal drugs. I'm not saying that we find it or that we advocate it or that I have any experience.
Put our thinking heads together.
Yeah, between you and I, Esmeralda, we could figure out how to deliver some drugs.
We'll be a smart Breaking Bad.
Yeah, exactly. I think Breaking Bad were pretty smart to begin with.
Right, but then I think it went all...
Imagine if Walter White had a drone.
Oh,
the things they could have done.
He
had an RV. Look what he did with it. Were you a big Breaking Bad fan?
Not really.
Neither was I.
Not really.
Just like our chubby fingers, we are brought together by a random fact.
I liked the show when I saw an episode.
Did you watch the whole thing or no?
No. But when I would see an episode, I'd be like, yeah, that was good.
You know who,
I had no want to see another episode.
You know who loved that show?
Who's that?
My parents.
Yeah.
Obsessed with that show. They loved it. They thought it was so great. I think I watched the first season and then a little bit of the second. And I was like, this is the same stuff every day. Walter's upset. Yeah. He's screaming about something at the other guy who messed something up because he's not good at it. Then Walter faces an existential crisis about his family
and what this means.
And he goes sell some drugs. He overcomes that crisis. He sells the drugs. He makes some money. And he goes to bed really guilty.
Yeah. Like, and then back at it in the morning.
And then back at it in the morning. I just was like, I get that they're having these adventures, and there were certainly really cool moments in the show, mm-hmm. but I just couldn't get into it because it just felt like the same thing every day. Now, yeah. my favorite show is The West Wing. I'm sure people would look at that and say, that's the same stuff. They get some liberal idea in their brain. They try and work it out. They have to sacrifice things, and then they're all upset at the end of the episode, and then President Butler delivers a hopeful speech. So I get mm-hmm. that. Shows have rhythms and have right. things to them for a reason because yeah, yeah, they know who yeah, their audience is.
I liked it. Was fine.
Right.
Like I said, I would watch an episode and I'd be like, yes, that was very good. But I don't want to watch another
one. Have you
I'm
ever good. And ever talked about this with Nick DiGilio? Is he a Breaking Bad fan?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know because you know he's so outspoken with his entertainment, right. with his, whether it's TV or
I'm not
or movies.
Sure if he's into Breaking Bad.
I don't know if that'd be like a gasp moment for
not.
Him. I don't know either.
Or he thought it was good, but, you know, it's not in the top 10. I want right, to say, right. just because he doesn't talk about it that much.
Well, anyways, drone deliveries. Would you ever buy drugs from a drone? That's a weird question. 312-981-7200. Have you heard of any other terrible ways that people have been able to deliver drugs? And again, we're not advocating
I mean, there's
for
a
that.
Lot of terrible ways yeah, there are. To deliver
You know what? Never
drugs.
Mind. Don't call in about that. Don't Ooh. Text it. I'm going to get some letters. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but at 10, we have something really cool coming up.
Yes,
you want to tease
exciting.
This thing?
We are going to have...
Give
I was
it a real
say,
good tease.
Oh.
Make this a real good tease, Esmeralda.
I was going to... Well, one, I'm just going to say words, and then you figure it out.
Okay.
Mariachi.
Okay.
And
We're
then,
having a mariachi band.
And then, concha.
Concha.
Do you know what that is?
No, but is it what's in that bag
yeah.
right over there? So
and
what's
it,
in the bag?
It's the
it's
whole
concha.
Celebration.
Okay.
It's what everyone loves.
So we got mariachi and concha carbs coming
concha
up.
Concha carbs. Concha.
All right. Well, that's
just,
coming up in a little.
You sit on that. You think about that.
A little marinade on that. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be back with more and mariachi and eventually at 720 WGN. Whoa.
Whoa.
Changing gears here. Let's
are we
Aerosmith.
The, is this our theme for if we are the Breaking Bad
yeah.
team? That's what I would imagine. And it would be real weird because we'd walk in all like, hey, everybody.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, who wants drugs?
John Hanson has presently on 720 WGN in for Justin Kaufman. Got mariachi and carbs coming up at 10.
Yeah.
Going to fill some time now talking about, I can't pull up the story that you sent me, but why don't you go ahead and
Cheetos
walk us
popcorn?
Through. Yeah, what is this?
All right. So I don't think this is, it's innovative, but mm-hmm. then again, you can buy it at the store pretty much. Cheetos popcorn is starting, they're going to start selling it at certain movie theaters.
Okay. So
because everyone loves Cheetos covering their turkeys and Cheetos. And other things. You didn't see that?
Oh, no, we talked about that on Thanksgiving. That's right. That's right.
That Cheetos covered turkey. So it's going to be at, where is it? AMC, not AMC, it's Regal Cinemas.
Okay.
Nationwide. Cheetos popcorn.
So it's like if you get a popcorn with a seasoning on it, it's kind of like that. It just has the Cheetos.
Exactly.
So it's not cooked in any different way.
No, it's just the Cheetos. And then it's got like bits of Cheetos in it.
Oh, okay. So there are bits of Cheetos in the popcorn.
I mean, really? Is that the like, oh, yeah.
Here's something I used to do weird to pop. First of all, would you eat this? Would you order this?
I would. Well, one, I would not buy it at the theater. I would just sneak in a bag of Cheetos popcorn.
Well, yeah. Sneaking,
don't they sell them?
Yeah, but I mean, this is like fresh.
Oh, whatever.
Cooked right out of the thing that cooks the popcorn.
Whatever. It's not like there's someone back there crushing Cheetos yeah. into my popcorn.
Here's something I used to do. Riddle me this if you'd like this. So I'd get a thing of popcorn and a thing of the Reese's Pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd pour the Reese's Pieces box right into the popcorn.
Yes.
This is about when I was 85 pounds heavier. And I would pour those Reese's Pieces in there. And that sweet Reese's Pieces crunch. And then the popcorn. And then the best part was, when you ate all the popcorn, of course the Reese's Pieces would settle at the bottom.
Right.
They'd be salty and buttery.
Would they be
and
a little melty?
Maybe. No, they wouldn't melt.
No, because the popcorn...
No. Kurt, you look really excited about this, Curtis.
I do the same exact thing, John.
Really?
Yes. My girlfriend and I actually both do it. So when we go out to see a movie, we'll literally get popcorn and M&Ms or Reese's Pieces, whatever we're feeling, and then do that while we're at
Dump
the movie
them
theater.
In.
Yep.
Just pour it on
and
in there.
And they don't all just fall to the bottom?
No, they eventually do.
They eventually
scatter.
Do.
Right.
But
if you shake it,
for
will.
The most part.
They're in there. You scoop it up, you're going to get a handful of both.
Yep. Little pockets.
It's one of the little things in life that you appreciate.
Yeah. Pretty right. big thing, actually.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Now, wait. When you're doing this, do you sneak in those Reese's Pieces?
No, I buy it all.
Really?
I used to be a sneaker inner. I used to do that, but now I just forget that I have to do that, and then I get to the theater, I'm like, because I don't go that often, I'm like, ah, crap. And I'm like, but I look at the popcorn, and I look at the Reese's Pieces, and the gigantic Diet Coke, and I'm like, I'm going to get it. It was like $19 for those three things, but I'm still going
to
do it.
One of my friends used to bring in cans of pop or soda or whatever all the time, and I would always be paranoid when we'd go in the theater, because it'd be dead quiet, and you hear the of the soda can. And I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, right now you decided to open that, and, you know, it's a dead quiet theater. You don't know if anybody who's working there or security is there.
Yeah, that's amateur hour.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
You gotta get a bottle.
Exactly.
Well, you also,
the bottle.
The psst doesn't bother anyone.
Nowadays, they sell the bottles, so how are they gonna know it's not theirs?
No. Here's what I also gotta say, though, because I, having done, like, so there's this drive-in down in Gibson City, Illinois. Drive-in or drive-through? Drive-in.
Drive-in.
I always mess those up. And... I will always buy the concessions there while also bringing in food. You're allowed to, like, pay $5 and then you can bring in food.
Oh,
because that's
nice.
How these places make their money.
Well,
the ticket sales all go to the studios for the most part.
I don't do it to the small places.
Okay.
Because usually their prices are pretty okay. But those big mega conglomerates, I'm getting M&Ms and sodas at the Walgreens.
What's the craziest thing you've ever snuck into a movie? 312-981-7200. Did you bring your pet in or something? I don't know. Like, I mean, I
saw someone bring in, and mind you, I don't think they snuck it in. They might have just had it in a bag. But it was a whole cake.
What?
It was a whole cake. It was at a Watchmen. Have you seen that movie, The Watchmen?
No.
Well, it's a big old comic book nerd movie. They brought it in because they were celebrating that it was coming out and everything. But they just busted that thing out of nowhere. I was like, what?
Did they put candles on it and light the candle?
No, it wasn't like, happy birthday movie. Blow out the candles.
Did they cut the cake into pieces and serve it?
Yeah, they were eating it.
So someone
they
had
just
to
bring it for show.
Well, then hold on. If you're bringing a giant cake in, you also had to bring in a giant knife to cut through the cake.
You can...
Are you sure it wasn't a birthday party?
Yeah.
No, because it was like a preview screening.
So you're just sitting there and someone busts out a cake.
Yeah.
And at some point...
Oh, and it said Watchmen on it. So it was like very specific to the movie. Like, we're going to go see this movie, so we need the cake.
Did you get any of the cake?
No, I did not. Because I was scowling.
They had to have brought a knife in.
I was like,
in.
Why do you have a cake?
And, like, I'm not saying they wanted to do anything nefarious with the knife. They just had to cut a cake. Oh, like a wedge thing? Like
cake.
A plastic?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Or you just use a plastic knife.
312-91-7200-870 Texan. Sugar babies dumped into the popcorn works better.
What are sugar babies?
I'll have to try that because I like sugar babies.
What are sugar babies?
They're like mini caramel. They're kind of like the size of Reese's Pieces, but they're like caramels.
Caramel. I'm not on board
with caramel
that.
Or whatever.
Yeah, no. I'm fine with caramel. First of all, 870, I appreciate the text. Second of all, don't just say it's better unless you've tried them all. And let me know if you have. 815 is chiming in. Oh, my God. This is amazing. My wife has snuck in jumbo coconut shrimp.
What
the hell are you doing?
Did you not have time for dinner?
Yeah, it was dinner and a movie, and you're just like, you know what? Actually, I'm going to bring a steak. I got this cooked up medium rare, got in a little Tupperware. I'm bringing in some jumbo coconut shrimp.
I wonder if they were warm still.
Right.
Like, did she freshly cook them and then was like, let's go.
Right. You just seal them into the Tupperware and go. Right.
Well, now AMC, I know you can actually like order like a meal from their counter and they'll deliver it to you in the theater.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
But it's very expensive.
Yeah, but homemade would be better.
You can also bring in drinks. They have alcoholic beverages. You can
I mean, I like the idea of the convenience and everything, but I have no money.
Do you ever drink in the movie theater? Do you ever bring in, I mean, you're of age, right?
Yeah, I'm 23. Yeah,
would you sneak beers into a movie?
I've never snuck in alcohol into a theater. I know people who have, above age, of course, not condoning anything illegal. But
you can say it. I mean, I'm sure some 19-year-old's done it, doing it now.
But, yeah, I've seen people who have done it. I've seen somebody bring in, like, a really cheap bottle of wine, and the person had, or their significant other had, like, two plastic wine glasses in their purse, just popped it out and started having wine during the theater.
It's like Ravinia. They're Ravinian it in the movie theater. They have you see them, they have a picnic table, and...
I can't believe I'm about to admit this.
A bit much.
What's the movie? It was the TV show. Is it I Dream of Jeannie? Where she wiggles the nose?
Bewitched.
Bewitched. Mm-hmm. So Bewitched was a movie in when we were in college.
Nicole Kidman.
Sure. And Will Ferrell, I believe.
Yeah.
Anyways, for some reason, a bunch of us, we were 21. I don't even know if we were 21, to be perfectly honest, decided to go see Bewitched.
Okay.
At college, in the movie theater.
Okay, fun.
We got so messed up before the movie even started.
What?
Right. Like, we planned to... So I think I took... I had a minivan at the time. I think I filled everyone in.
Oh.
We went there. We did not drive back. The plan was obviously like to cab back or something. But we sat in the parking lot of a movie theater before seeing Bewitched. And I think we had a handle of whiskey before we went into the movie.
Instead of pre-gaming, you were pre-screening.
I mean, I'm not proud to admit this.
I love for Bewitched.
That's what makes it. And it was seven guys, all 20, 21 years old. Someone had the bright idea to go see Bewitched. And we thought, if we're going to go see Bewitched, let's just get hammered. A few other people were doing other things.
Oh.
Nothing crazy, but you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Did it involve drones?
No. Were you guys having to throw payments on a lawn?
No, but I mean, we must have, and I'm sure everyone knew we were drunk and some of them were high. We were walking into Bewitched.
When was this, like, time-wise?
2003,
like a,
I think.
A Saturday night,
this was a Thursday afternoon, a matinee.
Oh, okay.
I don't really know. We all worked for the radio. You know how we were.
All right,
we were
so there
the
was no
station.
One in there that was actually
no,
watching
no,
it
there
properly.
Weren't families in there that ever went to go see Bewitched or something like that. 708 texts in. Back in the day, Rolling Rock beer used to come in 8-ounce bottles. They called them little pebbles, or that's what the
that's cute.
Parentheticals. They were our go-to show pops.
Show pops?
They'd fit in the purse perfectly. We've upped our game now to a thermos of wine, cheese, and crackers.
See? Oh, man.
That's epic. That's epic.
Man,
it is like Ravinia.
I try to stick with the things that I know are at the theater.
Right.
So then if they do catch me, I'm going to be like, what do you got? This is what you have at the front.
Right. There's some theaters where you can buy booze now and
drink
at. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know
the South Loop, there's one.
AMC right down the couple blocks away down here in the Chicago.
Yeah,
they do.
The big Block 37 fancy thing
there. Why does that feel so wrong? Because when I think about going into a movie, like let's say I were to sneak a flask, like a whiskey flask or something, and pour it into my Diet Coke.
Yeah.
That seems so wrong to me. But, like, we sit in the open at Cubs games and just get hammered, and it's, like, just part of the thing. Like, is it really that big of a deal if I drink in a movie? Like, for some reason, that does feel wrong, though, right?
And with the prices of the tickets and everything else like that, you're already paying, you know, like $12 for a ticket or something like that.
To me, it's not the sneaking in that bothers me, but being drunk at a movie theater, that seems like a real faux pas.
Well, maybe it's because... you want to pay attention. You've gone to see something to pay attention to whatever it is, the story, the whatever.
But if I'm on a date and I go to the dinner and I want to pay attention to what the person is saying, I'm still going to have some wine or a beer or something. We're on a date. We're having fun. We're getting loose. And I know there's adult. Is it because that at the adult theaters it's 21 and over and you don't feel guilty about it? But you're in a theater and there might be kids around. But there's kids around at baseball games. There's kids around at hockey games and I'm still getting trashed. So
I think it's more because, say you're at dinner and you're having that wine or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just you and whoever you're with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are other people, but they're not paying attention to the same thing you are. In a movie, you're all watching the same thing. So if you all want to start chatting or doing something that might get you a little looser than usual, that could be a problem. But also, I think, if you do go see a movie and you start, you know, bringing in a flask and everything, you're a little more sillier with it.
Okay.
It's not just like, I've brought a flask to just have my sips of whiskey while I watch my movie. It's like, no, I'm going to down this whiskey and I'm going to get drunk and watch this movie and probably yell at the screen.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's what you do with your drunkenness at the movie theater.
Right.
If you're interrupting everyone else, I get it. And you're right. At a baseball game, if you yell, you're just like everyone else.
Exactly.
Everyone's yelling. The kids are yelling. But yeah, if I go see Bewitched drunk
and
again, and I'm screaming,
wiggle your nose again, like you're just wasted.
I guess that makes sense. And also, I think it's fascinating because at sports games, the atmosphere is light and jovial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, I know the Seinfeld, remember when Jerry made out with his girlfriend during Schindler's List? Yeah. I'm not going to bring a flask to Schindler's List. So I guess it's the subject nature of the movie itself, too.
Although, then there's the fun ones like Rocky Horror.
Right.
The ones where you yell at
the
screen.
It should be a prerequisite to be drunk to see Rocky Horror.
Right.
And that should be part of the thing.
So there's that. By the way, 870, Mike and Ike's failed experiment in terms of putting things in your popcorn.
See, I like Mike and Ike's.
But in your popcorn.
I've never tried it in the popcorn, but I'll take their texter
for
it.
870 says fail.
You also missed the best part of the text.
What?
Which is where he said,
let's save him some face.
I think he wants to get this point out. He says, I'm a fat divorce guy. Of course I've tried M&M's, Reese's Pieces, in popcorn. Yeah. That's the best part of that text.
I was trying to be like, okay, sir.
I got to ask Rob Martier, because I know, Rob, you enjoy a little Maker's Mark every now and again, have some on Christmas.
Absolutely.
Isn't it seem weird to be drinking at a movie theater? Does that seem like, have you ever done that? Like,
not at all.
You never done that?
Not at all.
Doesn't that feel strange for some reason?
I'm from the John Travolta Pulp Fiction school of thought, you know, when he was talking about when he was in Europe.
Uh-huh.
He said, you know, over in Europe, it's just the little things that they've got that are different. Like, over there, you can get a beer and watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think it's great.
Right. But doesn't it, if you were to start drinking a movie there, you'd feel weird. Not only just because you maybe have snuck in a flask or something, but I'd feel like I was committing a social taboo. Oh,
I'd buy the booze. I mean, I wouldn't sneak something in.
But let's say you're at a theater that doesn't have the booze. Like, right. So they're not at a 21 plus. You're just on it's a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some teenagers there, too.
I think I'm kind of with you. I mean, I love my bourbon, but I think I can hold out for 2 to 2.5 hours to wait.
Right.
Yeah, that too.
But I guess I'm like, we do it at baseball. But we do it at baseball. We do it at other things, at other social events. It's like, why does that seem strange? Because it does.
It is. You're right.
I don't know.
I really haven't given it much thought, but I do agree with you.
I hadn't until this exact moment.
And now I'm going to stay awake all night thinking about it. Thanks.
First, before we get to the news, I got to get to Jim. Jim's in Melrose Park. You got a quick story. We got to go quick before news. Jim, what do you got for us?
Yeah. We went to a midnight show in Homewood, sat in the back row because we had a bottle of schnapps with us.
What flavor?
Chugged just regular peppermint schnapps.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Chugged it down, set the bottle down, but like laid it down.
Mm.
And what it did, because the floor is kind of slanted, literally rolled down the floor, would hit a chair. It was like a pinball machine. It went bing, boom, you know, all the way down.
Like Schnapps Plinko at the movie theater.
You know, we know what you guys were doing. You're going to have to stop because we sat there laughing so hard. Believe it.
I would party with Jim.
And Jim, you probably thought it was going to stop every few seconds, but then it just kept on going.
Yeah, that's it. It would hit like the bottom of the chair, the metal on the chair, make the bing noise, spin around, roll down to the next two or three, hit one, and just go all the way to the front of the theater.
Oh, Schnapps Plinko may be the best thing I've ever heard out of your mouth, Rob Martier. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for the phone call. We appreciate it. And then the 847 says, in the late 70s, Miller High Life had 7-ounce bottles. You'd go there, you'd bring it in with a beer, and when they were empty, it was popular to roll the bottles on the floor to the front of the theater.
Oh, my God, those theater, the people cleaning up probably hated you.
Okay, so we got mariachi and carbs coming up in a little bit. We'll explain exactly what that means in just a few moments. But first, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.